So we've been in a series called In the Storm. So it started back when False Creek started. And I had this message titled The Breakthrough. And I was super excited because I got to preach on the last night this year. Something that I've never been able to do before. So I was super excited. And so the week's going good. Everything's kind of flowing in with what I have to speak about. I'm excited. And all of a sudden, we can't have the last night because we had a hiccup in the road. I'm not going to kind of go over, you know, what happened. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But needless to say, we had to go home. So I kind of questioned. I was like, if God gave me this message to share with people, why would he kind of seem to take it away at the time? So I just kind of went on. And a couple weeks passed. Chelsea and Andrew came to me and they asked if I'd preach on a Wednesday night because they're having a crucial surgery for Chelsea. I said, yeah, for sure. And I was getting a message prepared, and this message was called Trust the Process. And it's funny because it was like 5 to 6 months that I was working on it, and I could just never get anything to flow with it. I was trying, just nothing could happen. And finally, just this one Wednesday night, it happens just to work perfectly with it all. And it's kind of funny how Trust the Process goes in with this series so well. And so as I'm preparing for you Sunday, I'm preparing and everything else. I'm putting the breakthrough off, you know, because I'm like, it's already happened before. Why would I talk about it again? Or try to, at least. And every time I study for it, the breakthrough would just keep popping up in my mind. This is what you're supposed to talk about. So I looked at it. I changed some things up, and I'm super excited about studying. And all of a sudden, I'm driving home from work, and these two titles pop up in my head. When All Seems Lost and the Rebuild Stage. And there's two things that followed along with that. For the When All Seems Lost, someone's supposed to give a testimony. And the Rebuild Stage, that was a time just how I have an altar call for church. So the first week, When All Seems Lost, we talked about how Daniel had two options in his life. One, he could say, you know what, God, I prayed to you night and day, 3 times a day. I didn't care what someone thought about me, and all of a sudden I prayed to you for keep me out of here, and now I'm here. So you know what, you left me, so I'm going to leave you. Or he had the option to say, you know, probably one of the toughest decisions anybody's can make. Say, you know what? I'm in this lion's den. I don't know why I'm here. I don't currently like my situation I'm in. But you know what? It's going to be okay. Because I've been down before, and he's pulled me out when I didn't know how I was pulled out of it. And so that was the first week. And Chelsea followed up with a great testimony at the end. The next week was titled the Rebuild Stage. And it's funny because I had this planned out perfectly, you know, like 20, 25 minutes. I was so excited. Had the altar call at the end. It was all going to go well. And all of a sudden, a couple days before, it just changed. Nothing was flowing like it had been for the past 2 weeks. And I was like, all right, God, you know, what do you want me to talk about? And so the message only wound up being like 6 to 10 minutes. And talking about why, if God's watching us, why would he let us go through pain, you know? And so it was 6 to 10 minutes on that. And then I shared a story about Caitlin and Brian and Zach and how we spent time with them at the hospice house and where I met Trish and Ron and everybody, and how I told Becky at that time, a little days before that day, that I would always be there for those kids. No matter what they had to go through, I would always be there for them. And watching the kids cry and remember hearing Caitlin say, Mom, don't go, I'm scared. It broke me. I didn't know what to do. And I kind of took it upon myself instead of just leaving it to God, saying, like, you know, I'm supposed to help them out and I can't do anything about it. I didn't talk for several days, and finally me and Zach talked, and he's like, you know what, sometimes it's okay not to be in control. He said, none of us like this, but it's going to be all right. And so it's leading today, the message, which is titled The Breakthrough. And if you have your Bibles, turned with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. Luke 8:16 through 17 reads, No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So who all knows that God will use you if you allow him to use you? For example, there'll be an opportunity comes upon you. You either have a choice to either take that or leave it. And you may be saying in your seat right now, you know, Colton, it works for a guy like you, 21 years old. You know, you haven't seen quite the world yet. But take from my perspective. Have you seen what I've seen? Cheated the people I've cheated in my lifetime, fight the addiction I fight in my lifetime. God can't use me. You're young. He can use you. You know, you come to church every so often. you know, sing, stay right with God. People come by to see you, they kind of just knock them off to the side. You just kind of go hide out in the bathroom, hear praise and worship start again. You come out and you start to question. You say, God, you know who I am, what I've been through, and you want to use me? And God kind of flips the switch and asks the question, do you know who I am? Am I not your God who pulled you out of the lion's den? Am I not your God who parted the seas for you? Am I not your God, when you put yourself in that sticky situation, I brought you out of it, I'm going to do it again and again. I'm always going to be here even when you don't see me. And I've noticed that it's often in our weakest moments in life that God can use that for our greatest testimony, if we allow Him to do it. See, our past, we're not defined by our past. We're defined about how we use our past and our love for Christ. The next chapter I want to go into, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. So read it. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. So I originally wasn't going to share this story with you guys because I was ashamed of it, the story myself, for many years, and I really told anybody. But so I was 18, 19 years old, and I just got my first truck, my first job, and everybody was out of town, it seemed like, that week. And I was trying to do something, and everybody seemed to be out of town. And so I just got my first truck, first job, had a little bit of money, I thought. And so I got in the truck, and I was driving around, and actually pulled up to this gas station at 3 in the morning because, you know, I needed gas. So I drove from 10 to 3 a.m., and as I go inside, get pay for my gas, and come back out to the truck, and pumping gas, this guy comes up to me. And he kind of yells 3 in the morning. He's like, hey, you. I'm like, yeah, what's, thinking this guy's kind of crazy, 3 a.m. at 3 in the morning. But so I said, yeah, what's up, man? And he goes, who wrote that in the back of your truck? And at that time, I'd always put, like, God is good, God is great, things like that. And I looked at him, and I said, I don't really know who put that there, actually. I was working all day, and I don't know. And I was ashamed of it, which I should have been. And so the question started popping in my mind. Colton, didn't you always say you would defend? You always say that you know Christ, no matter what, life or death situation, that you would always say you know who Christ is. And now the time when it's come, you back down because you're scared. And so I heard someone say before, your breakthrough often comes when you're most willing to expose what you're ashamed of. And like we just read before, you know, God was willing to use your past if you're letting let it go. Like for me, personally, I never would have thought in a million years that I'd be up stage talking to everybody. I mean, I used to be scared just to talk to 5 people alone. And for me to say at the gas station at 3 in the morning that I don't know who you are because I'm scared with my own life, God's used it and able to put me up here and to speak on Wednesday nights, lead the youth, and say it's going to be okay. I know you did it, but it's all right. And so now, it's flipping me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. It reads, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus kind of stops and he asked, well, who do you say I am? I didn't ask what your friends said about me, your grandparents said about me, your best friend for 13 years said about me. I want to know who you say I am, what you say about me. So Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be overcome. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You know, I've kind of noticed it's real easy to say Jesus is my Redeemer, my Healer, a great guy, when everything's going well in our lives. You know, we have job opportunities coming in, getting married, have a newborn child coming in, family relationships all well and dandy. But that moment something hits you hard, it's like we kind of turn away from God and we're like, we go to a friend for help. And we've ultimately given that someone, that friend, a power that God has not equipped them yet with yet. I mean, sure, it'd make us feel good for the time being, you know, for maybe a month, a year or so. But ultimately, Jesus is the one who's going to give us peace the rest of my life. Especially when we hear get the news, a doctor comes in and says, hey, your family member's only got 9 days to live. You got a divorce. You don't know how you're going to make it from paycheck to paycheck. Like, God, I thought you were helping me out here. What's going on? You know, I've discovered that oftentimes when you feel like God isn't doing much in your life, that's when He is doing the very most in your life. And as long as we continue to trust in God, sure, we may have some bad days, but everything's going to come out better for the end. No matter what it is, even if it doesn't look like it's going to come out better in the end. So I want to read now Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It reads, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly. And from house to house, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, by shepherds of the church of God, which has bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock or you. Even from your own number of men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away his disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. This message actually started the breakthrough. It was our last youth Sunday we had, and it was the weekend before that, and I happened to be staying at Austin's house like I did pretty much every weekend and every night and everything. And so as I'm there, everybody knows me. I'm a night owl. Yes, my grandparents will tell you that too. But that night, I was the first to sleep for some reason. I had this dream. I was in this red car. And we were driving, and all of a sudden I could see this like little shack with a beat down shack with like this pond or whatever around it, and storm clouds were over it. And I enter the shack, and I see these like 12 people in there. I can't see any of their faces, but I see they have like a black cape on with the hoods on them, and they're all looking at me. And this one in particular lady is looking at me with these red eyes, and this guy in the back is, can't really see his face, but he has this big beard, and he has red eyes on him too. And he says, they both say to me, your time has come. We've been expecting you for a long time. And so they start grabbing me by the arms, and they grab me by the chest and the face, and it burns really bad. And I said, stop. I'm crying out, stop, stop. And I fall down, and I'm in this gym. And Sammy Lopez is this pastor a couple of years back at Falls Creek. We've been in contact for, you know, several weeks, years, whatever. And I first thought he was going in for a hug. He had his arms like this, and he like brought his hands like this. And like these like shock waves come out and hit me in the chest, and I fall straight down to the ground. And I hear a voice in the background. It says, all your anxiety and fears will be brought out of you. Take courage. And all of a sudden, see Sammy Lopez now chasing this thing down, brings it down, and I wake up. Well, at the end, when I wake up, I'm like, that was a weird dream. It's just a dream. And I feel this feeling at the end of the bed is like this. This thing. I don't know. I feel like someone's watching over me. And so I'm there, and I just feel it get closer and closer, and the room gets kind of cold, and it just gets closer and closer and closer, and to the point where he's at the side of the bed. So I jump out of bed, I turn on the light, and I'm like, who's there? I'm like crying out, who's there? And I don't see anybody, but he's still in the room. So I'm about to take off down the hallway, but I'm scared to take down the hallway, but I don't want to leave, you know, I don't want to be in the room with this thing. And so I take off down the hallway. I see Austin playing Fortnite like he always does. And he looks at me. He goes, "What's wrong with you? You don't look so good." And I said, and I tell him about the dream. And we stayed up pretty much the whole night. And what it did was, it was more just a dream. What it did was, I kind of questioned if I was supposed to be preaching. I lost lights of sleep. I didn't really know who I was at that time. And honestly, I haven't told many people this either, but I almost didn't do You Sunday. It was to the point where I was scared and I didn't know what to do. I got close to saying to Adam, "You know what? You're going to be disappointed. I know you will, but I can't do it. No matter what you say, I can't do it." And I'm glad I did now, because later it was revealed to me that God has a calling for every one of us, whether you're old, young. He has a calling for everyone. So don't let the fear stop you from God's calling in your life. You may be saying to yourself, "You know, Colton, that's all fine and dandy. You had a dream. I get that. But see, my life is more than just a dream. It's reality. You haven't seen some of the things I've seen. Fight the addictions I've had to fight for many, many years. You haven't lost a son. You haven't lost a mother at a young age and know what that's like to grow up without that. You haven't had to go several Christmases wondering, am I going to be okay? You had to cry yourself to sleep wondering if your dad's going to come home and beat you like he has for the past 14, 15 years. You don't worry about that. So don't tell me you know, because you don't know. And you'd be right. I don't know the pain you've gone through. But one thing I do know is God knows. He sent His only Son on the cross to die for you and for me. You see, Jesus took the nails in His hands for you and for I. They took the crown of thorns and they shoved it on His head. And they, as they mocked Him, as they watched Him bleed out, you know, He could have said, "You know what? I came here to show these people light from darkness, to save them. I did everything I could. But still, they turn away from me. So you know what? I'm going to turn away from them." And honestly, I feel like a lot of us would say that if we had that opportunity come up in our life. But no, as He's bleeding out on the cross, He cries out to God and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And I want to ask you the question today. You see, Jesus' scars were in His hands. Where are your scars that you've been carrying around for the past 15 years, 10 years? That you just feel like it's a huge regret in your life and you're most ashamed of it and you can't escape it. You see, we're not to be defined by what we've done, because God is there at all times. And so, as our altar call team comes up, if you guys would please stand to your feet. I just want to leave it with, don't leave here with the same regret that you've had. If you need someone to pray over you, we can. If you need someone to pray with you in your seat, that's fine too. If you just want to sing out to God, then you can also. But don't leave here wondering, does God know who I am? Because when Jesus died on that cross, it brought a new day, a new light, a new hope, and it brought breakthrough and for the end of the storm to eventually guide us through.
I want to thank you guys for coming and supporting the youth. They just have such a heart for God and so many talents, and I love to see it. I'm always emotional. Dang it. But you guys are the reason that they're up here. You guys support them and you guys love them, and you allow them to use their gifts for Christ, and I just thank you guys so much for that. And I also want to say, with it being Pastor Appreciation Month, we are so grateful for you, Adam and Eric, for supporting our kids and for loving us and for giving us opportunity and for always having our back and always being that pillar and that stronghold and, you know, the thing that just is a constant here. And we just want to say thank you, and that we love you guys so much. And I'm just going to pray us out. Heavenly Father, Lord God, whatever storms that we're going through in this life right now, whether they're exposed for others to see or whether they're hidden deep down inside of us, Lord God, whether we're fighting with others or whether we're fighting on our own, Lord God, that you would just bring that up inside of us and that you would be the thing that we would hold on to, that you would let us know that we're never, ever alone and that we cannot do anything to be separated from you, that you're our Father and we love you so much. And I just ask that today as we get ready to leave, Lord God, that you would just give us strength and courage to stand up and to say, I still need help, that this doesn't leave as we exit the building. And if there's something in somebody's heart still, that something is still stirring, we're going to be here for a little while and you would find somebody, whether it would be one of the youth kids or your pastors or Andrew and I or somebody else here, anybody else here, that you would reach out and that you would not have to do this alone, that you would allow that breakthrough to happen, that you would have the courage to allow that to happen. I just thank you for your mercies and your grace, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.